This is DZPN, the Drunken Zombie Podcasting Network.
This is Sylvia Schultz, your host for Lights Out. Welcome back to the show. I'd like to share a quick update with you all about the hauntings at the Pollock Hospital in Bartonville. This is such an active place, and it just keeps getting better every time I visit. I was there a few weeks ago to film a web TV show with Haunted History of the Paranormal. The personal experiences we had there that night were amazing. At one point, we were in the hallway near the men's death ward doing some recording for the show. The temperature in the hallway plummeted as we recorded. Soon after that, every one of us smelled the sweet scent of pine or balsam in the hallway, a faint vestige of the herbal treatments that may have soothed patients here. And just last Friday night, I was again at the Pollock, tagging along on a public tour. The volunteers at the building are constantly refining their presentation of the history here. You've got actors and actresses portraying patients and nurses, even grave diggers, in their efforts to teach people the history of the Peoria State Hospital. Chris Morris, as head nurse, stands at the hallway near the men's death ward. This is the delousing exit through which patients were admitted. In this tiny admitting room, they were asked to take off their clothes, which were then taken out back and burned. Tuberculosis germs are carried on clothing. Then the patient would be escorted across the hallway to the shower room. Women would have their long hair shorn, again to cut down on the places for the TB germs to hide. Then the patient was escorted back across the hallway to the exam room, adjacent to the delousing exit. The actress portraying a patient that night was a young girl with long hair and two luxurious ponytails. She clutched a doll and coughed sporadically. As Chris spoke, a nurse came up and escorted the patient across the hall. Several minutes later, as Chris continued, the nurse and patient emerged from the shower room. The patient's hair was now close-cropped on her bowed head. The nurse led the young girl to the exam room, where she sat dejectedly on an exam table, giving a few tubercular breaths. Now here's where the story gets weird. As Chris continued her presentation, all of us, the group in the hallway, the two actresses in the exam room, heard several deep, loud, tortured breaths. Those of us in the hallway assumed it was the consumptive actress. The nurse and patient, though, thought it was the guy standing next to me in the hallway, breathing heavily as if to make fun of the actress's performance. Comparing notes later, though, we all found out that there was no one who had taken those deep tubercular breaths. At least, no one that we could see. Shall we go lights out? On a bright, sunny Saturday in June, I rode the motorcycle over to Galesburg for a book signing. I was looking forward to the trip. A visit to Galesburg always means a stop at the Cherry Street Bar. It's easy to find right in downtown Galesburg. It's got cold beer, great sandwiches, and fun entertainment. It's also got a ghost. I arrived at Stone Alley Books and Collectibles for the signing. The owner, Stone, is passionate about supporting local authors and made me feel most welcome. As I greeted bookstore patrons, a lady came up to me and introduced herself as Sally Wade, a fellow author. After the signing, she showed me to the beautiful old Center Congregational Church. As we sat in front of the altar, drinking in the peace of the 175-year-old building and the jeweled tones of the sunlight coming in through the rose window, Sally shared an experience she'd had months before on a snowbound winter's day. Okay, so this, what is the name of the church?
This is Central,
Central
Congregational Church.
Central Congregational Church. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hall, but these windows used to open up and seating was all around here.
Wow.
For a reception.
And whoever comes just comes and sits sometimes here too. But
that's so cozy.
It's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you know when those windows were put in?
Oh,
they look
19th
century.
Yeah, they were.
They just kind of look like that.
Yeah.
You're right, that rose window is amazing.
Yeah. At night, it looks like a jewel.
Oh, yeah,
I lights on it. But I know that this place is filled with, at times, with people to whom it matters.
Yeah, my guess would be they're not so much haunting it as just hanging out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I think, too. And this organ makes a sound like, it's the sister organ to the one at West Point, and it's the largest and oldest in the whole town.
Wow.
But it's pipes.
We're behind the altar, and Sally has just pushed back this 30-foot-tall red curtain to show me the pipes of the organ behind us. That's glorious.
I call it the mighty molar. Because when someone really knows how to play her, you can sit out there and the pews will vibrate a little bit, but you feel the vibration all through you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You can feel the palpable presence of God in here.
Oh, man. Well, since you have invited me in, thank you. Would you mind if we sat here for a while and just recorded?
Sure.
And you can show me how you were sitting on that day.
Okay.
Trying to not make too much noise.
My letter, okay. It was a Friday in the earlier part of the spring when we were having a lot of snow, and I came here to be here for whoever. We usually just have a small little group that comes in intermittently to experience prayer and a meditative kind of prayer where we spend several minutes just calling in the presence of God and the peace of God. And then we begin to fill ourselves with that and send that through our own bodies and minds until we can begin to feel that power of God within us and invoke and invite God's purpose and God's plan, not only for our own lives, but for the lives of those whom we love. And again, there will be a little more silence to let those people rise in their minds. And then out into the community for another few minutes, and out into the country, and out into the world. And the day that I came, and it was so snowy, they hadn't opened the office. And I realized nobody may come.
And so I sat here for a little while and was going to leave when something inside me that I consider the voice of the Holy Spirit or my own soul, I don't always distinguish between them, but said, no, 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 don't go. You don't have to go. You know, you're not here alone. And so I sat back down and I began to just look at the rose window and begin to do the prayers from inside me when I felt the spirits of people who had been here long ago and some that I knew when I lived here before. And I suddenly remembered where they sat, and what came to me from somewhere within, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was a voice that said, you are not alone here, for heaven's sake. And we're always here with you when you come to do these prayers, whether other definable humans in your ordinary life are here or not. We're here, and we love it. We love this place, and we come to be here, too.
Beautiful.
And so I get a chance to share that story. And feel their presence and their love. Some of them were not so easy to love during that earlier stage in my own spiritual growth. But now I see that there was a connection that was greater than our ego that has held us all together in this place. Even me, who's flounced out of here vowing never to return on two separate occasions. It was here during a very difficult time in my own life that I heard a piece of scripture that sang into my soul that I've never forgotten, and it was Romans 12:2 that says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that was speaking to me, that I did not have to be conformed either to this world that I saw or thought I saw here, that didn't feel very Christian to me at the time. But that I could continue being transformed by the renewal of my own mind. And that has followed me all these years, so I always think outside the box. And I'm always open to that which we can't see always, but we can feel and know from a higher place within us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have had a wonderful time sitting here in the quiet, just experiencing your church. Thank you so much for letting me visit with you.
Blessings on any of you who were here but too shy to speak up. I know you're a rather conservative group by nature. But there's a great love that has bound us together and that keeps hold of me by an ankle, always here. Even when I wandered away. And you've always welcomed me back and made a place for me and let me be me here, even when I know I'm a little bit out of the box for some of you.
We didn't capture any spirit voices on that visit, but the peace and serenity of the church was a welcome respite during a busy afternoon. It was nearing supper time by that point, so I was very glad to open the doors to the delectable grill smells of the Cherry Street Bar. Their menu tells a bit about the history of the building, including their ghost. I'm sitting at the Cherry Street Bar in Galesburg. I'm reading off the back of the menu here. It says, A History of Cherry Street. The building now housing Cherry Street Restaurant and Bar was built in the 1800s. Historical research has discovered that over the years it was occupied by other businesses, including Best Buy Furniture Store, Millie and Willie's Grocery Store, the Plain Dealer Printing Company, and Marty's Pizza Restaurant. In the mid-1980s, the Quad City brothers, Dan and Jerry Carmody, bought the property, which was being operated as a bar at that time, and turned it into Cherry Street Brewing Company. The Carmody's completely gutted former Marty's Pizza, including stripping the walls back to the original brick and adding a restored tin ceiling along with many other upgrades. Within days of opening, Cherry Street became one of the most popular places in West Central Illinois for food, drinks, and entertainment. Over time, the business was expanded several times. John and Tom Petmeyer owned and successfully operated the business for over a decade until the sale to Luella and Stan Devlin in 2010. With their purchase of Cherry Street, they hope to be as successful as the historical businesses have been and bring their customers the best food, drinks, and entertainment in Galesburg. It is suspected, due to all of the changes and renovations, it has disturbed the resident ghost of Cherry Street, who has been named Roxanne over the years. A check of city directories in the early 1900s confirms that the building listed several people living in upper floor apartments. Both ghost and normal residents of Galesburg will remember or have heard about the Gaiety Vaudeville Theater, Coney Island, Knights of Columbus, Western Union Telegraph Office, Haynes Market, Hardy and Hardy Law Office, Brad's Pool Hall, the Downtown Lounge, Flesher Music, and the Galesburg Post doing business on Cherry Street. It is alleged that Roxanne was found dead in her bathtub. It is said that she and maybe some of her friends roamed the building at all hours, and some have heard and seen proof of it. A former employee stated that she had stacked all the chairs in the beer garden, only to return and find three chairs placed back around a table. There have never been any reports of violence by our resident ghost, only fun little tricks on people, so we believe she's pleased with you being here. There might be times when you can feel her presence too, and if you get enough spirits in you, you might also believe in Roxanne. I spoke with Lou, one of the owners, about people's experiences in the bar.
We had our third investigation done.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
They said they don't want to do it again.
Really? Why not?
It got a little more, not really scary. Well, I guess they kind of got scared, but there was a lot more going on that time.
So. Really? Who was it?
She has a YouTube. She put a video out on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
With the sounds and stuff. So
excellent.
And I have it. I have the link posted on our website.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty. I mean, there was a lot of noises that they picked up, and they were actually touched over here.
Wow.
In the basement on the side of the.
Okay. Cool.
So it kind of. I don't know. She just kind of got creeped out that time. She was like, "Okay, yeah, I'm done." And you know, all three times that we've had it investigated, they've done it on a Sunday.
Okay.
But, Illinois Ghost Seekers.
Okay, I thought that's who it was.
I think that's
Illinois Ghost Seekers Society. Yeah, I was talking with Crystal a while ago, and she mentioned that she had been here.
Yeah.
So I was guessing that's who it was.
Yeah.
Cool.
They were pretty sure that they actually got something on video, but they never did find it. The people that were up there thought they saw something in the sports bar. They were sitting on the steps going up to the beer garden. And they thought they saw something, but when they went back and checked the videos, there wasn't anything there.
Gotcha. But that happened.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of activity that last time.
Neat.
So I'm like, okay, I'm fine. We're going to not disturb them anymore. I think they're fine. We'll just leave things the way they are.
Cool.
So what experiences have people had, aside from investigations?
The one bartender that I had hired upstairs in the sports bar, one evening he told me when he came down that he said he was going through the place, you know, cleaning up, picking up things, and he knew for a fact where the remote was at for the TV, and he said he heard something fall, and it was quite a distance away, and he was the only one up there.
He's a
black kid, and he said, I know how this always works in the movies. The black guys always go first, you know, and he's like, so I don't like this. But, he was pretty creeped out that night. I can tell you, when I went through the basement one night, I was going to the office to pick up what I needed so we could get out of here. And we were getting ready to leave, and I was about halfway through the basement area, and right where we have a lot of deliveries, boxes of stuff, you know. There was a sound that was like, it sounded like somebody just slapped as hard as they could on the side of a box.
Oh, wow.
To the point where I turned around and I was like, looking to see if anything was even moving. Nothing was moving. And I just said, okay, Roxy, I'm going to grab my stuff and I'm getting the hell out of here. And that was, you know, that was it. But it was kind of weird because, I mean, we were the only ones here again, you know, and it was just real obvious that the sound, it just sounded, you know, if you just slap the side of an empty box, that's what it sounded like. And it was just like it got slapped just as hard as it could be.
Oh, my.
And it was almost like, you know, it's time for you to get out of here. It's time for you to leave. So we were real agreeable with her. Him, it, whatever it is, I don't know. The investigations, they said that they picked up more than one for sure.
Oh, wow.
Definitely more than one. And the name Roxy just comes from over a period of time, people just named the ghost, you know. So I've never really seen anything myself.
Okay.
Well, there was one evening where one of my bartenders, we had a pretty busy night, and there's three of them. One of them, she's a workaholic. She's always got to do something. So she's usually the one off going and cleaning and stuff. And she said, came downstairs. She'd gone upstairs to clean the sports bar. And she had gone back up. And when she came down, she said, I don't know what happened or who did it, but all those chairs are straightened up and I did not do it. And I'm like, okay, well, we've got cameras here, right? So I thought, okay, I'm going to go and check things. Because I said, seriously, and she was like, I don't remember doing the chairs. She said, because I mentally made this note in my mind, you got to go straighten the chairs out. And we always, you see how they're sitting around the bar now?
Yeah.
And usually when at the end of the night, we'll go and we'll turn them a certain way. So they're kind of inviting somebody to sit down.
Nice.
And they do the same thing upstairs. Well, when I went down and checked the video, it was almost like she was possessed. And she was taking those chairs and just straightening them, putting the back solid up against the bar. And she did every single one of them the same way. She turned them, backs up against the bar, turned them, backs up again, and went down the line and did all. We have seven or eight bar stools up there. And I came up and I said, Nancy, you did straighten those chairs up. She said, no, I didn't. I said, no, you did. I said, I've got it on video. You did it. And but it was just the way she did it. It wasn't like, it was almost like she was possessed. I swear to you that was what it looked like to me.
Oh, wow.
But she didn't remember it. And I showed her the video and she said, I sure don't remember doing it. And so, yeah, that was kind of creepy. Her and I both have heard noises when we're at the end of the shift and we're just waiting to get out, you know, trying to finish up. Everything's quiet. We've had TVs go off and on by themselves, the jukebox, the volume all the way up, and then all the way down, and then it just shut down. There was like five people here that night sitting at the bar, and we all just kind of looked at the jukebox like, guess she didn't like that song. But, I mean, little things like that, you know, that we've actually heard. And one night, there was an empty bottle sitting on the sink back behind the bar, and nobody was behind the bar, and it just tumbled.
Oh.
And I was like, what was that? And I got up, and then the bottle was laying on the floor. I mean, goodness. Just things like that. But the investigations, they actually got a lot of audio, and they actually got it to... we've got the... You've been in the restroom, so mm-hmm. they're like motion-sensitive paper towel dispensers.
Yeah.
And we actually have it on video, and that's what's on YouTube, where it spun out all by itself, and nobody was anywhere near it.
Oh, that's the one she was telling me about. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
So it's pretty... I don't want to see anything. But every time I go in one of these bathrooms and the towels is dispensed, I'm like, okay, they've already been here. But yeah, that's kind of pretty much it. I mean, okay. You know, you get sometimes people tell stories where they've been touched. You know, I've had one girl that said, I swear it felt like somebody just touched real light, like, you know, just enough that you can say it was something, like kind of like when a fly gets on your hair or something. Mm-hmm. That's what they say it feels like.
Okay.
And, Crystal was touched, and she said that was only the second time since she's been doing investigations that she's been touched.
Well.
Yeah.
Wow. And,
but that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you very, very much.
Okay.
The presence of a ghost hasn't harmed anyone's appetite. You can even order a sandwich named the Roxanne. The menu describes it as thinly sliced turkey topped with Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, and our signature dressing, served on grilled marble rye bread. For more information about the bar and its ghosts, please visit the website cherrystreetbar.com. On the main page of the site is a YouTube link about the investigations that have happened there. Also, visit IllinoisGhost.com and click on Investigations, then 2011 Cases Continued, then Cherry Street Bar, Case 1114. Cherry Street Bar is located at 57 South Cherry Street in Galesburg. Stone Alley Books and Collectibles is located very close by at 53 South Seminary Street, also in Galesburg. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode. Next time, I'll be bringing you chills around the campfire as we go, lights out.